Ag Outlook 2025, your yearly outlook on grains and livestock from the Mid-America Ag Network. Brought to you in part by
CanEquip, your local Case IH and New Holland dealers across Kansas. The Hydraulic Shop, hydraulics big or small, we service them all. Double T Livestock, we don't want everyone's cattle, just yours. Give Troy a call at 620-491-3312 to help with the selling of your cattle. Sandlin Auto Salvage, give us a call and we'll buy that old car or get you parts to repair it.
Now let's go to your farm broadcaster from the Mid-America Ag Network, Sam Speck.
Hello and welcome aboard. I'm your farm broadcaster, Sam Speck, with your 2025 Agricultural Outlook, presented by the Mid-America Ag Network. The Mid-America Ag Network Agricultural Outlook is a great time to reflect on the previous year, this being 2024, as we flip the script and head towards another calendar year of 2025. During these programs, we'll take a deeper dive into the grains, the oilseeds, the livestock sectors. We'll also be looking at other commodity markets, as well as agricultural insurance, land values, and speaking with other industry leaders all throughout agriculture and the surrounding industries about what 2025 has in store as we look towards, hopefully, another successful year. Not only will we cover that, but it's a new administration into 2025. What do agricultural leaders expect? What do they hope for? And what do they expect to see for 2025? We'll be breaking down livestock, grains, and much more. And in this edition, we'll be focusing on the livestock sector. Where do cattle markets go? What do steer prices look like? How are hog producers preparing for the upcoming year? Many of these questions will be answered today from all of our great industry leaders that we've met with throughout 2024 and into 2025, as we expect to see quite the difference in a new administration. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the 2025 Agricultural Outlook presented by the Mid-America Ag Network and broadcasted on all of our respected affiliates through both Kansas and Oklahoma. Let's waste no more time and get into this edition of the Agricultural Outlook. Again, this week on this program, we'll be focusing a little bit more on the livestock. We'll also dive into the ag economy and the overall landscape of the world of agriculture, as of course the elephant in the room and the thing that we will get started with today, as one of the bigger changes that we didn't see in the 2024 Ag Outlook is a new administration coming into office. At the very end of January, it's President Trump's second term, and that also means who he picked as an agricultural secretary. President-elect Trump's pick as Ag Secretary for a second term was a bit of a surprise. He tapped former White House advisor Brooke Rollins after several major news outlets reported former Georgia Senator Kevin Loeffler would be the nominee. Jess Peterson is senior policy advisor with the United States Cattlemen's Association. He admits Rollins was a bit of an unknown, but says that can have its advantages.
That means she won over President-elect Trump, and she has something that President Trump believes in. And frankly, she comes from some out-of-the-box thinking. She's from Texas. So she's not going to be beholden to anyone in the Beltway or in Washington. She's going to work on America First priorities, and there's some very, very key issues from the U.S. cattlemen's industry, the U.S. cattlemen's association's perspective that we look forward to working with her and that are very critical both from the previous Trump administration and the Biden administration that we need to work to keep moving forward.
Peterson cites Rollins' background as a plus in this situation.
I always like folks that get in that role that they're not looking for the next big consulting gig after it, right? That truly are excited. They come from the grassroots. She has a legal background, a law degree. That's very helpful. She served in state politics. So you look at a resume of both real world working knowledge and policy knowledge. So she brings both of those to the table.
Once Rollins is confirmed, Peterson tells RFD TV she'll have a full plate of business to attend to.
We have an animal identification, a mandate out there that's very, very unpopular in cattle country. She's going to have to deal with some advances on animal identification that are not very popular, that need to be addressed, that U.S. cattlemen will be asking for reconsideration on. She also has a closed loophole on country of origin labeling that will be going live and enforced in January of 2026, in addition to a policy that was teed up vis-a-vis the Trump administration, previous Trump administration, on changes to livestock price reporting to increase price discovery. That proposed rule was done under President Biden and under Secretary Vilsack. That will be under her watch.
Again, with the United States Cattlemen's Association is Jess Peterson, a senior policy advisor. We will now shift our focus over to this new administration. Obviously, with the new agricultural secretary comes a new president-elect, as Donald Trump has laid out his vision for blanket tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and China. Trump announced on his social media platform that one of his first executive orders workers will be to slap an immediate 25% tariff on all Canadian and Mexican products entering the United States. Trump's rationale is that such harsh economic sanctions will force the U.S.'s two neighboring countries to curb the flow of illegal drugs and migrants across America's northern and southern borders. Shortly after the president-elect shared his blanket tariffs plans, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau contacted Donald Trump directly.
I had a good call with Donald Trump last night again, laying out the facts, talking about how the intense and effective connections between our two countries flow back and forth. This is a relationship that takes a certain amount of working on, and that's what we'll do. It was a good call.
Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum stated that her country could respond to U.S.-imposed tariffs with sanctions of its own, but warned the economic consequences would be dire for all concerned. The Mexican president went on to say that the main exporters from Mexico to the United States are factories owned by General Motors, Stellantis, and Ford Motor Company. So why apply tariffs that put them at risk? A political science professor at the University of British Columbia echoed her concern. Max Cameron said that most of the daily trade volume within North America is through multinational companies that have facilities located in the United States, Mexico, and Canada as well.
It's not clear to me that Trump has an understanding of how the economy works. Parts made in Mexico get used in plants in Kentucky. Same with Canada. If you're going to be imposing tariffs on everything that goes back and forth across the borders, you're going to raise the price on the things that you're selling to your own consumers.
But a Canadian-born author, educated and living in the United States, thinks Trump might have a much larger plan. David Frum is a political commentator who was a speechwriter for George W. Bush. Today, he's a senior editor at The Atlantic magazine. Frum says that for Donald Trump, free trade between tightly integrated neighbors presents a winner-takes-all scenario. Frum suggests that Trump's endgame might to be form a North America into an exclusive trade bloc where most outside economies can largely be ignored.
What Trump is about is we're going to retreat from free markets. Trump does not believe such a thing as a mutual gain from trade. There's a winner, there's a loser. Someone who dominates and someone who is dominated. And Canada's going to have to make some very difficult choices. USMCA becoming a protectionist bloc. At some point, Canada may have to choose between keeping open the benefits it gets from USMCA and trading freely with the rest of the world.
Again, that's political commentator and author David Frum. Now, there's a lot of rumblings and people commenting on these new imposed tariff possibilities as President Donald Trump's administration begins to take shape. United States agricultural stakeholders are wondering about that possibility of a second trade war due to those potential tariff increases. Four experts spoke on the topic during Ask the Expert presentation on the U.S. Ag Trade Outlook during the NAFB National Convention in Kansas City. Dan Hallstrom, President and CEO of the United States Meat Export Federation, talks about what he expects in Trump's second term.
I think the waters are going to be choppy, but honestly, they're choppy anyway. I think if you look at Trump administration, number one, a lot of good things happen. China phase one, it's already been mentioned, very advantageous for the U.S. beef industry. We're going to be close to $2 billion in sales again this year, and that's with a tariff. You look at USMCA that we talked about quite a bit. You look at the Japan-U.S. ag agreement, all very much home runs for U.S. beef and pork industries after 2020. So yeah, I think in general, it's going to be choppy, but I think the administration worked well with us the first time around. I don't know why it wouldn't be this time. Like we've all talked about, there's a lot of potential going forward, which will help drive economic growth. And, you know, agriculture is one of the backbones of economic growth.
We also spoke with Shauna Morris, Executive Vice President of Trade Policy and Global Affairs for the National Milk Producers Federation, says it's hard to know if the administration will follow the same blueprint from the first term.
I do think the common thread we're going to see, as others have mentioned, though, is use of this trade positioning, use of tariffs as leverage to try to move the ball forward. And our hope is that, as Dan mentioned, agriculture is able to work with the administration so that at the end of that process, it's advanced opportunities for our dairy exporters, for others across ag. We did see a number of cases of that last time, as I mentioned earlier, and we're looking forward to working with the administration to try to cultivate more of those in the next 4 years as well.
Again, that's Shauna Morris of the National Milk Producers Federation. All right, shifting gears now, let's get into the world of livestock. As 2024 was a year of record high beef prices, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension livestock economist David Anderson says the cash market for fed cattle traded within about a $10 range this year.
We got to a little over 190 about mid-year. Declined down to 180. We're back up to 190 again. And so, you know, really since February, we've been between 180 and 190, a little bit of movement back and forth. But that's actually higher than last year, almost every week this year for a weekly average price. So prices are better than they were a year ago. But again, you know, we've been sort of stuck in this band and we've been unable to really break out over 190 consistently. I think that's something that's going to change in 2025, where we're going to see some higher prices.
He adds that beef production is likely keeping a lid on these prices.
You know, if we looked at the statistics, we've produced less beef than we did a year ago. But thinking about beef between non-fed cull cow beef that's going to hamburger and fed beef coming out of a feedlot, steers and heifers. And so if we look at fed beef, we've actually produced a little more fed beef than we did a year ago. We're almost right there the same, but a touch higher, really driven by heavier weights. You know, these heavier weights, we've been record high weights for both steers and heifers. We've actually had more cattle on feed than we did a year ago, most of the year. So those supplies, and not just total fed beef supplies, but we've had beef grading better than a year ago. So we've had more supplies of choice and prime beef on the market. And it's really hard to push those prices higher when we've got more supplies. Now, on the cull cow side, the non-fed beef, clearly we're culling fewer cows. We've got the fewest beef cows since 1961. We're culling fewer dairy cows. So that total supply of non-fed beef that's really going into ground beef is much less than a year ago. So that's keeping those kind of wholesale ground beef and cull cow prices high, but keeping a lid on where our fed cattle can go.
He says when it comes to the futures market, there was a lot of enthusiasm this last summer,
particularly into June and July. And then at the end of July, early August, we had a big decline in futures market prices. I think that's really because of this recognition that we were producing more beef than a year ago. You know, as we think about that, we've certainly had some mixed signals in the overall economy, but certainly growing GDP, rising real wages, certainly some declining rates of inflation. Yet we do have a lot of consumers that are struggling, and we look at higher prices. So, you know, we had this realization in the futures market that, gosh, we're producing more beef than a year ago. At that very same time, there were a bunch of stories about in the kind of the popular press about, oh, gosh, we're headed for a recession. Well, I think those gave a reason for the futures market to sell off and drive those prices down. The recession really didn't materialize, but our high beef production was still with us.
Again, that's Texas A&M AgriLife Extension livestock economist David Anderson. He's predicting even higher prices in 2025. Now, just to shift gears very slightly, we asked USDA's Gary Crawford, will 2025 be the year cattle producers finally begin the work of expanding the herd?
U.S. beef production this year is running a little higher than had been expected, despite a gradually diminishing supply of cattle. But USDA Outlook Board Chairman Mark Chekanowski says we are coming to the point where beef output in 2025 is going to have to head downward because of what's been going on over the last 3 years.
We're not retaining many heifers to grow the herd. We keep, you know, pulling those cattle in to feedlots to produce beef today instead of beef months and years ahead.
Result will be a projected beef production cut next year of over 2.5%. The other result, higher steer prices next year. USDA forecasting an average price in 2025 of $188 a hundredweight. Some analysts say that might finally trigger producers to retain more heifers for breeding and begin a long-awaited herd expansion.
We also caught up with USDA Outlook Chairman Mark Chekanowski as he gave us the 2024 as well as the 25 forecast for average steer prices.
We raised our steer price forecast for both 2024 and 2025 this month. For 2024, we have a price forecast of $186.68 per hundredweight. We expect that to strengthen further into 2025 with even tighter supplies. So our current forecast for 2025 is $188 per hundredweight. That would be up $1.32 per hundredweight year over year.
We also got some updates from both USDA's Gary Crawford and Outlook Chairman Mark Chekanowski, this time on the dairy industry, as they look ahead as 2025 could be another strong year for United States dairy.
Milk and dairy product prices are strong right now and have been strong for several months now.
And, you know, the outlook is for them to remain relatively strong into 2025.
USDA Outlook Board Chairman Mark Chekanowski.
Dairy product demand, both globally and domestically, is strong, especially for cheese and butter. And our export demand for dry products is very strong, whey and non-fat dry milk. So that's helping to support prices of those products.
And of course, prices down at the farm levels for milk, which Mark says are averaging $22.75 a hundredweight this year, could be $22.85 next year.
Historically, you know, these are reasonably strong prices for the dairy industry.
And with projected lower feed prices,
margins should remain positive.
And lastly, let's talk about pork production as Mark Jackanowski projects the 2025 production for United States pork.
Pork supplies, we lowered our forecasts for both 2024 and 25 just a little bit this month, so down by about 90 million pounds in 2024. Down by 110 million pounds in 2025, just reflecting what we're observing is in terms of lower slaughter in the fourth quarter of this year and expecting that to carry into the first quarter of next year. But year over year, pork production is expected to be up just about 540 million pounds.
Once again, that's USDA's Mark Jackanowski. And I'm your farm broadcaster, Sam Speck, here on the Mid-America Ag Network. We have to take a quick step aside. On the other side of the break, we will conclude this edition of the 2025 Agricultural Outlook. This week, talking more specifically on livestock. But on the other side of the break, we talk about land and land values, as well as U.S. ag imports and exports in the upcoming year. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the Mid-America Ag Network.
Warm up with preseason savings on New Holland utility tractors from Can Equip. Get 0% deals or cash back offers on PowerStar T5 Workmaster Utility and T6 models. These powerful, comfortable tractors deliver from 40 to 126 PTO horsepower. Warm up with preseason savings now at Can Equip in Harrington, Wamego, and Topeka. Offers end March 31st.
For commercial use only. Customer participation subject to credit qualification and CNH Industrial Capital America LLC approval. Standard terms, conditions, and other restrictions apply. Down payment may be required.
Cattle farmers, are you looking to sell your cattle? Let us help. Here at Double T Livestock in Kingman, Kansas, come to our office and relax, enjoy lunch on us, and watch the Superior Livestock Auction as we help with selling of your cattle. Call Troy today at 620-491-3312 or stop by the office at 805 East D Avenue in Kingman, Kansas to figure out how to get your cattle on the auction. Double T Livestock. We don't want everyone's cattle, just yours.
Sandley and Auto Salvage. Don't let that rusting metal in your yard just sit there. Get cash today by taking it to Sandley and Iron and Metal. Locally owned and offering free pickup, Sandley and Iron and Metal will take that old car or truck off your hands.
No matter big or small,
we take it all. Plus, if you need parts for an old vehicle, check out our inventory list and find the right part at the right price. Sandley and Iron and Metal, 3059 North Hoover Street, and make sure to find us online at sandleyandautosalvage.com.
You're ready for any task, and you expect the same from your tractor. No matter the job, there's a Case IH Farmall tractor ready to work as hard as you do. With easy operation, an exceptional operating environment, and more standard features that enhance productivity, Farmall tractors deliver the power and flexibility to knock out chores and keep going. Stop by Can Equip in Solomon and find a Farmall to meet the demands of your operation.
Welcome back in. This is the 2025 Agricultural Outlook, presented by the Mid-America Ag Network and broadcasted across our many respected affiliates. I'm your farm broadcaster, Sam Speck. Here on this edition of the 2025 Ag Outlook, we have focused mainly on the livestock sector, but also we'll be taking a deeper dive into the upcoming agricultural economy, as we do see quite a bit of economic uncertainty into United States ag looking into 2025. As we look back, 2024 was challenging for farmers and the agricultural sector. When we spoke with Dave Widmar, economist and managing partner with Agricultural Economic Insights, says 2024 was full of twists and turns.
It has been interesting, lots of unexpected turns and uncertainty, and it's going to set us up for even more uncertainty and probably surprises into 2025. It's a farm economy with two outlooks, and one outlook is on the livestock side, especially cow-calf producers. They're having a pretty strong year when you look at net farm income and the net farm income estimates coming out of USDA. And then the other side of that Bitcoin is crop producers, and especially corn and soybeans in the Midwest. They're having a really difficult year, and so we're sort of have an economy that's hitting the brakes in one side and hitting the gas on the other side. And so I think that's going to take a lot of time to move through, to navigate through.
We've also seen changes in the overall United States economy.
I think we've also seen a change in the macro economy. You have a situation where the Fed's now starting to lower interest rates a little bit, and so we've seen a lot of that inflation uncertainty and inflation concern start to leave, so we'll see how that resolves itself into 2025.
While lower interest rates are a good thing, it'll take a while before the ag economy notices an economic impact.
We went from 3.5-4% farm-level interest rates up to 7.5%, and now we're coming down from 7.5% to maybe 6.5%. We'll start to see some improvement, but we went up a lot and we've came down a little bit. The implications of interest rates will range from borrowing costs all the way to asset valuations, and so it's going to take time to work this way through this system. But yes, time is going to be important. A little bit of relief for 2025, but long term will be important to watch.
That's Dave Widmar of Agricultural Economic Insights. Now we'll continue our dive through agricultural economy as tax cuts initiated by President Donald Trump during his first term in office are set to expire in 2025. Oklahoma Republican Congressman Kevin Hern says he believes the incoming president is planning to reward American companies for doing business in America.
I think that's part of his reducing the corporate rate from 21 to 15 for that. He knows how important farmers and ranchers are to the American dream and to feeding Americans and keeping us less dependent on other people around the world. And that's why he also wants to push predominant energy production so we're dominant in the world, so we're not relying on it. And he has said time and time again in his 2 years of campaigning that the real gold in America is under our feet. And that's important, as we heard in here, everybody clapping, because we need to have that security and national security.
Hern recently won his election campaign and talked about the concerns he's been hearing about from producers.
People are really concerned about the expiring of tax codes and what that does to being able to use estate planning to be able to hand down farms. Because if we have an expiration, then basically what's going to happen is we're going to have people having to sell part of their farm to pay the taxes. In addition to that, have we had Kamala Harris, and Democrats are still in place that want this, is to have taxation on unrealized gains, which is very problematic, you know, the increase of value in farmland.
Kevin Hern, a representative out of Oklahoma. And lastly, how will food prices behave in 2025? USDA is out with their forecast.
What's the outlook for 2025?
Prices for food at home are predicted to increase by 0.8%.
Not even 1%, just 0.8%. This from Agriculture Department economist Megan Schweitzer.
For most categories in 2025, we're predicting price growth to be pretty similar to 2024. And below long-term averages for most categories.
She says that 0.8% forecast is just the middle of a wide range of forecasts, which include the rare possibility of food prices dropping below year earlier levels.
It's not very common for grocery prices to decline, but we did have a few years in 2016 and 2017 where prices declined.
Again, though, a very rare happening.
Once again, that's USDA's Gary Crawford on the report, as well as economist Megan Schweitzer. And I'm your farm broadcaster, Sam Speck, here on the Mid-America Ag Network, thanking you for sticking around to this edition of the 2025 Agricultural Outlook. However and wherever you may have been tuned in, whether it's on one of our many great affiliates throughout the both states of Kansas and Oklahoma, we'll conclude this edition, again, diving deeper into the ag economy as well as the livestock sector. Next time, we take a deeper dive into the grains, oilseeds, ag economy, land values, and much more on the Agricultural Outlook presented by the Mid-America Ag Network.
Ag Outlook 2025 has been brought to you in part by
CanEquip, your local Case IH and New Holland dealers across Kansas. The Hydraulic Shop, hydraulics big or small, we service them all. Double T Livestock, we don't want everyone's cattle, just yours. Give Troy a call at 620-491-3312 to help with the selling of your cattle. Sandlin Auto Salvage. Give us a call and we'll buy that old car or get you parts to repair it.